Welcome to Music Journeys. I'm Mike Foley. Mindy Smith begins another tour in the Midwest, supporting her latest release, Quiet Town. It's the Long Island-born singer-songwriter's first album of new material in about 12 years, but it's worth the wait. Here on Music Journeys, Mindy reflects on the early days and what inspired her start, and also addresses the insecurities she had that contributed to the delay in a full batch of songs. In the end, music, as it does for listeners, served as a healer for Mindy Smith. Our featured guest on this edition of Music Journeys, thanks for listening.
I'm Mindy Smith, and this is my music journey.
The plane roaring over our heads. Yeah, I miss the days when we lived in a quiet town, where people walked how they talked and they meant when they said, you got a friend you can count on. Guess me and you were a fortunate few, lucky to have had that at all. We're not the only ones left missing a quiet town.
Quiet Town opens the 11-track release from Mindy Smith, who traces her love of music back to her town of Long Island.
It's funny, when I was little, because we grew up on Smithtown Boulevard, and we lived in Smithtown, I thought the town was named after us because my last name is Smith. I was very full of myself, even as a child. But I think having grown up on Long Island, and this is back in the 70s, so radio was either the way to go or records, vinyl records, and 8-tracks. Remember 8-tracks? Do you remember 8-track cassettes?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. We would have one. My parents had one. I had a little 8-track player, yeah.
So I think the sound that I remember was a lot of, actually, because my dad's a minister and my mother was a choir director and had a degree in music, we listened to a lot of Christian-based music. But I also kind of ventured into Cyndi Lauper and Sting, The Police, and then, you know, even Michael Jackson, all the pop stuff, which kind of steered me to the alternative music. And I really got into The Cure and Depeche Mode. And I was really into the dark stuff and dramatically dark stuff as a teenager.
And so then what inspired you to kind of say, I want to take a shot at this. I want to write, I want to record, I want to perform.
I've always wanted to do that. I didn't know how to go about it. I had a terrible, and I'm only going to touch on this lightly because I'm past it now, but I had terrible experiences with music and education, and my music teachers were horrible to me. I'm just going to say that and leave it there. So we'll move on from that. And so I had lost a lot of my boldness and, you know, who cares? I'll just go and sing. It just kind of wrecked me a little bit. And then when I got older, I thought the bug didn't go away. I just wanted to sing. And the only way to do that was to write songs and have original music. I thought I figured that out when I was like 24 or 25. So it took me a little bit longer to figure out that I needed to pick up a guitar. To have wound up where I did wind up, which is Knoxville, Tennessee, all the stars started to line up there because I had a neighbor who had a guitar and let me use their guitar. I had a neighbor also who knew how to play the guitar and show me a couple chords. And from there, I would go to writer's nights with these people, which I'd never heard of before. And that sort of created a really great ecosystem of friends for me there and support and lifting me up there in Knoxville, doing the writer's nights there. And then eventually I was steered to come to Nashville And that's another really crazy story. But so I think everything sort of, as I got older, unfolded in a way that was fairly organic at a certain point that I was right when I was a kid. This is what I need to be doing. I still can't believe that I even made a first record.
You can try to keep me down, you can try to keep me under, but you'll never get my will, you'll never take my will to fight. Cause I was born at the bottom of this mountain I'm scaling, and I'll probably climb it, climb it till the day I die. All the things I know I need, it just keeps me.
It was such a big dream for me to do that and to have a producer like Steve Buckingham, who's produced Grammy award-winning albums, including Dolly Parton and with Emmylou and Linda Ronstadt. And so to have that talent to sort of help guide that, I'm still sort of floored by it. But I'd been writing towards it for a while, and it was finally nice to get a response that wasn't, "We love what you're doing, but we just don't know what to do with it," which I got a lot of. But to finally have somebody go, "We can do something with this." And that was Vanguard and Steve Buckingham and Kevin Welk. And to get to sing a song that Dolly Parton wrote called Jolene, I'm sure you're familiar, as my first launching, if you will, was pretty crazy. It's just, it's still one of those things where I can't process that all that stuff has even happened. And I'm here all these years later.
So, normally the gap between someone's album, it doesn't really stand out. And sometimes we pay too much attention to it, right? But I guess I would ask it this way, the length between your previous one and Quiet Town, I guess maybe where did you start thinking about some new material? Did you have doubts about doing it? And I guess what was that key motivator?
Yes, it has been a minute since I put out a full length album. And it is noticeable. I understand that. I think for me, I have done other things in the time between. I released a holiday EP. I released a compilation album in partnership with Shelter Me, which is a animal rescue program that PBS does a show on with Stephen Latham. I've done singles and duets and things like that for one, Matthew Pierman Jones, one of my favorite writing partners. I was still writing. I was writing these songs and processing the world around me. And I think a lot of what I was dealing with was just, to be completely raw and honest, insecurities and feeling like, the time is gone for that. And then just finally figure out how to get myself out of that way of thinking. I had written a song called Little Wings.
Are there any other birds out there in the world afraid to fly like me? Who else climbs an old redwood branch by branch instead of landing in the damn tree? If I could just remember how to use these things, I might not feel so useless in my little wings.
That song kind of helped trigger, okay, I do want to be able to get back and have new music and share a whole album. And I do feel like I have the songs that can, as a collection, can do that. I'm very particular when it comes to releasing an album. I feel like, especially nowadays, every song has to stand on its own and play well with others. And I've always believed that all the records that have impacted me most have that collection of songs on them. And so I felt like it was time to put an album together. And I serendipitously crossed paths again with Nielsen Hubbard, and everything clicked to do that. And we sat down, picked out pretty awesome list of songs to narrow down from, which is unusual. And so here we are. And to sort of reflect back on, okay, there are things here that have changed, you know, at least in Nashville. And also just share a little bit about my experience meeting my biological family in a way that is not so specific, but other people can relate to in their own lives and their own journeys.
Oh, that's beautiful. And not to be too intrusive, but how hard is it to realize that you came from somewhere else, but you love this place that you were raised in? Do you have to figure out who you are? Do you feel like you don't know who you are anymore?
No, I don't feel that for me. I can't speak for other people. And I know a lot of people have not been so blessed to meet their biological families. And so there's another side to that. That's very, very much a very real thing. I think my struggle was loyalty, and very much love my family, my siblings, and my mom and dad. And, you know, I struggled with balancing that need to want to meet my kin, my bloodline, my biological people, if you will. But finally, I found the courage to do that. And it was all self-inflicted. I have a tendency to do that to myself, like put extra weight that doesn't even belong there on myself. And to have the encouragement of my father, and to even say, I'll go with you if you want, to have the blessings, that's I'm fortunate there. And I don't take that for granted, because I know a lot of people have not been so fortunate in their journey with such matters. There's a song at the end called Light of Mine that I wrote after we'd already selected the songs. I wrote it right after Nielsen left the meeting. I went up there and wrote it, and it's called Light of Mine. And it's sort of, if you know the song, This Little Light of Mine, you'll understand where I'm coming from.
But why bet on giving up when I can face my best instead?
A gradual journey of me sort of navigating again the world around me. And there's a lot of great co-writers on this album that have helped me to do that. I got to give a shout out to them as well, because, you know, you walk into a room and if you're fortunate enough to sit down with people you can trust, you're going to come up with some really cool ways to tell a story.
Just to follow up on Light of Mine, that's on my notes here. I just think it's an uplifting song and kind of a reminder to let that unique light that's within each of us, to let it come out and have the confidence to do that. And that seems like that's a partial sort of theme song, I guess, of this new record for you.
I like to think so. I think getting to that point, and I think a lot of Aren't we living in a time where everybody's feeling like they have to show something bigger of themselves with social media or all the things we have to create persona versus just letting yourself be who you are? And I think there's a lot of people maybe who feel affected by that part of life now. That's such a big part of everyday life, to sort of feel like, oh, well, everybody else has got so much great stuff going on. I mean, but a lot of it's just a facade versus just letting your daily life, you know, like light shine every day and just being who you are. It's good enough and it's enough. And I feel like that's what that song kind of touches on. I'm not just talking about social media, but I'm talking about in general. Like, I feel like we're all out there trying to keep up with the Joneses and versus just being the Joneses. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I'd rather be a bridge. Beautiful piano. Your voice sounds incredible. Can you share with us where that song came from? Maybe what you were trying to do with it?
Sure. I was walking around downtown Nashville with Heather, my partner, and we were looking at the bridge. It was so beautiful. She was taking pictures and she said, I'd rather be a bridge than be a wall. And I thought, that's a really good sentiment. Bridges do. They lead us to people. They lead us to seeing the world around us or things that we might not otherwise see, and embracing people who may be hurting or vice versa. It gives you a pathway both ways. It's like to have the opportunity to not only just be there for other people, but then to be able to lean on people because you've made yourself available.
Not to call them favorites because you love them all, you put them all together, but do you have a one or two that are especially meaningful to you from Quiet Town?
I think the song Jacob's Ladder really talks about where I was and trying to get out of. And then to sort of have a song like Farther Than We Should Have.
Just like a firefly, thought our light would fade by the morning, but we kept each other warm in the cold air of the night. And it wasn't for the skin, it was always a
we can overcome the odds, you know, what are, you know, the things that we thought were not possible. When you're in that place, But I think lyrically, every song has a special part of my journey in it.
How about the song Hour of My Departure, working with Daniel Tashin on it?
Yes, I've written with Daniel over the years. There's something about writing with him for me that is like coming home. And we tend to get a little carried away with, I'm melody driven. I'm very melody driven. And I know Daniel is as well, but so to take a song, and I think when we write together, I liken it to, there's no lead. It's both harmony. We're both singing harmony at the same time. I feel like that's been our sort of method. He was a young dad and all the things. And for me, I was just coming off of having met my family. And I think the song really talks about, we're always going to be one. And I think for me, with when I talk about it, from my perspective as my biological mother, there's still always been that connection, even though I was adopted and had a beautiful family to be raised in. That connection was always there.
Don't you cry, for our love rings through the measures of a timeless lullaby, and there's a melody playing in the slightest breeze. We will always be.
It's a healer. It heals and it breaks down barriers and it communicates in ways that verb just talking doesn't. I think it, whether there's lyrics or whether it's instrumental, there's a path of healing or a pattern. There's patterns that I find there's nothing else that quite does what music does to heal a soul.
Perfectly said. Mindy Smith, thank you so much for your time and for making this album, Quiet Town, and for enriching our lives with your music in general. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you too, Mike. Thank you so much.
And special thanks to Simon Pokrant for some editing help in this episode. And thank you for listening to Music Journeys, a part of 90.5 FM, WCBE Columbus, 106.3 in Newark, online at wcbe.org, and broadcasting on the new WCBE app. I'm Mike Foley. Talk to you again on the next Music Journey.